Skip Heitzig reminds us that with God, the saying that you're only as old as you feel can actually be true.
Somebody once said, there are none so old as those who have outlived enthusiasm. I know people in their 30s that are old. I know people in their 70s that are young at heart. And may God renew our enthusiasm for life, for whatever purpose He's called us to.
Make the connection.
When Ronald Reagan died, mourners turned out in the thousands to pay their respects to the former president. Some stood in line for over 3 hours just to view his flag-draped casket. Reagan's legacy reached far beyond just his time in the White House, and it obviously left an impression on a lot of people. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig will give us one more glimpse into the life of a man who also built a tremendous legacy, even in his sunset years. Before we get to that, though, if you haven't done so already, I want to encourage you to consider joining the Global Connectors. You see, as a member, you're playing a vital role in global evangelism. You make it possible for this program, which blesses you on a daily basis, to be heard and to bless other people in other parts of the world. Plus, each month you're a member, we'll send you a free resource. So you help us spread the good news of the Bible, and you get a free resource each month. So you really don't have anything to lose by signing up. Join the Global Connectors today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. You know, Abraham lived an amazing life. Sure, he made some mistakes along the way, but he also blazed a path into a new adventure, being known as God's friend. So when it was time for all of it to end, what was retirement like for Abraham? That's what we'll find out in today's study.
And make the connection.
If you'll turn to Genesis chapter 24, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he begins our final message in this series, Making Your Mark.
If you thought Abraham was old in chapter 24, he is a relic in this chapter. He dies at age 175 and is buried in the cave of Machpelah next to his wife Sarah. The great thing about being that age, I suppose, is you don't have any peer pressure. Now, getting old scares most folks. It's the thing we swore would never happen when we were teenagers. You remember? You thought, oh, it'll happen to everyone else, but you looked at your friend and you said, not us. Now, the rude awakening is to discover you've already arrived. I was in the store not too long ago trying to buy something, and somebody said quite candidly, I could give you a senior citizen's discount. I smacked that individual. No, I did not. But in my heart, I did. No, not really. Of course, I have to say that as a pastor, even if you did in your heart. I found this, I wanted to share with you. One of the most disturbing aspects of aging is the growing inability to recall vitally important information, such as where you put your slippers. This affliction becomes particularly pronounced when you go upstairs to get something. Halfway up, you realize that you have no inkling of what you were going upstairs to fetch. Then you have to decide whether to go back downstairs and try to remember what you needed or continue on up and look for something that needs bringing down. Unable to decide, you resort to sitting on the landing and sulking, only to discover that you've completely forgotten whether you were originally upstairs going down or downstairs going up. There were two elderly women who were discussing the problem of aging, and they were at church. And this gal said, "You know, the worst thing is when your mind starts to go and your memory starts to fade. I've known you all my life, and I can't remember your name. What is it?" And her friend paused a moment, and she said, "Do you need the answer right away?" Now, if you don't feel old tonight, great. That's good. But I want you to consider this, that today's college freshman was born in 1984. I just ruined it, didn't I? And this is what it means. It means they have no memory of time before MTV. It means that new wave is their parents' musical genre. It means they have no recollection of the Reagan era. It means that they were prepubescent when the Gulf War was waged. It means that Family Ties is what middle-aged ladies watch. It means that from their earliest years, a camera was something you used once and then threw away. Just a little perspective. I just thought I'd throw that in. Now, we don't remember Abraham in his earliest years. We didn't meet him till he was already married, and God got a hold of him and told him to go to Canaan. But we do get a glimpse into his final days on earth. And tonight, we have already read Sarah's obituary. We read his obituary. We saw how he started sort of midway in his life, or early on when we got a hold of him in chapter 11. But now we see the end. It's not how you start. It's how you finish the counts. He started as an idolater, but he ends as a man of faith. Now, tonight we're going to look at only the first 11 verses of chapter 25. And as I read this chapter, four words came to mind to describe these last years of Abraham. Four words that I'll give you. The first word is pretty obvious as you read the first verse, and that is the word remarried. Abraham, at his age, gets remarried. Let's look at it. Verse 1, Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Can you believe it? Sarah was, when she died, he was 137 years old when his first wife died. But he lives 38 more years after that. Wow. He gets married again. I guess that would mean his midlife crisis would be somewhere in his 90s, you think? You know, can you see Abraham with gold chains and a Corvette or a, what would it be, a convertible camel, I suppose, in those days. Notice her name is Keturah. The word means incense or perfumed one. That might not mean much, but to those who lived in Bedouin tents, it meant a lot. It could be that that was a name that she acquired. Sometimes that happened. But in a place where animals were kept near the tent, to walk by Keturah was probably like a breath of fresh air. Now, some of you might be thinking, what's a gal like this doing interested in a guy who is probably 140 when they got married? Is it just that she was after his money? I don't think so. In 1 Chronicles, Keturah is described as Abraham's concubine. So they had some kind of relationship up to that point. They knew each other well, and he elevates her to the position of being a full wife. That's what the scholars will tell you. She was already in the home as one of the workers, and now she becomes his second wife. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that she loved him and that he loved her. And that can happen at any age. In 1900, 4% of the American population, 4% was age 65 and above. Today it's 12%, three times more. I'll add another fact to that. There are now over 12,000 people in the United States that are past 100. And the point I want to make using Abraham is the capacity to love and receive love doesn't diminish with age. It is a constant. And we can applaud Abraham here. His wife Sarah is dead. He still has 38 good years left before he's 175, and he marries her. At the same time, I want to throw in a note of caution. And of course, he couldn't foresee this, but we don't know her background. We do know that one of his sons is Midian, who becomes one of the arch enemies of Israel later on. We don't know her background spiritually. It could be that she wasn't all as spiritual as he was. She didn't certainly have the walk of faith that Sarah had. It could be that he was sort of toying with the edge or on the edge of an unequal yoke. We don't know. But it does give a sufficient cause to add a note of caution and to simply say that looking for a new relationship immediately on the heels of an old one is dangerous. I want to read a letter from a woman. She wrote this to me a few years back. It's a Christian woman, and you can hear her yearning for a godly husband. Tomorrow, she said, I will be married for 6 years, but it's not a happy occasion because I'm going through a divorce. I met my husband in a Bible study. We would study the scriptures together, pray together, go to Christian activities, but then we got married and things changed. If this divorce goes through, I'll probably not marry again for the kid's sake and also to follow the Lord's way. But I'll be honest, deep down in my heart, I wish I could find a good man who loved the Lord and lived as the Lord commands. I really yearn for companionship, even if it's just friendship. I've been married 3 times, and I had to support them all. Now, certainly, Sarah's death gave Abraham, even at age 137, the freedom to marry again. If you carry that thought into the New Testament, Paul speaks to that directly. He writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes only in the Lord. Let me just finish that thought up by saying the New Testament sees, I believe, 4 reasons for Christians to remarry. Reason number 1, that person has a sexually immoral and unrepentant spouse. Matthew chapter 19. Sexually immoral and unrepentant spouse. Matthew 19. Number 2, if that person is deserted by an unbeliever. Desertion of an unbeliever by an unbelieving spouse would be a second reason. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul specifically says a person is not under bondage in such cases. Number 3, marriage and divorce prior to conversion. Marriage and divorce prior to conversion. Paul said in Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And number 4 is this reason, the death of a spouse. The death of Sarah. There's a second word. Let's move on to describe these latter years of Abraham. Not only remarried, but you'd sort of figure this, renewed. He is renewed in his old age. Look at verse 2. And she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, Shua. Keeps going. The list continues. Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, somebody else, and somebody else. I'm not going to even try those. And the sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanoch, Abida, and Elaah. All these were the children of Keturah. Now, I counted that up. I'm sure you did too. 6 sons, 7 grandsons, 3 great-grandsons. That brings the total number of his sons up to 8. This is not counting the girls. This is a prolific old guy. I was reading this, and this verse brought up that New Testament verse in Ephesians, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He is renewed, I believe, supernaturally by God. He would have to be. Now, I'm just not making that up. I want you to go back to chapter 17 for just a moment. Go back to chapter 17 of Genesis. A verse needs to be brought up so we understand the impact of this promise. Go back to chapter 17 and go to the fifth verse with me. Remember when God said this, "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you," notice this, "a father of many nations. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." It's funny how we read promises and go, okay, yeah, cool, got it. But we don't get the impact of that. Now we do. Here's the fulfillment of that. Go down to verse 17. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old?" You see, even here, even now, Abraham realizes this having a kid thing at my age, I'm past the age, I'm past the strength. In Romans chapter 4, that promise, back up in verse 5 and 6, is reiterated by Paul. That God would make Abraham the father of many nations. And then Paul adds this: "God who gives life to the dead and calls things that do not exist as if they do exist." Here's a man remarried and renewed in strength for the purposes that God promised him. You're going to be the father of many nations. So remarried, renewed. Somebody once said, "There are none so old as those who have outlived enthusiasm." I know people in their 30s that are old. I know people in their 70s that are young at heart. And may God renew our enthusiasm for life for whatever purpose He's called us to. I remember, I think it was the title of a book or it was the title of a chapter in a book that simply said, "Old age is not for sissies." You probably heard that before. Old age is not for sissies. I thought about that and said, boy, that's right. It's a tough time of life. It's a winding down of energy. It's accompanied with complications. One of them, I've noticed among the elderly, is guilt. They look back over their lives with guilt. Oh, I should have done. I wish I would have. Something else that complicates it: fear. Fear of the future. Fear of the disease. Fear of no income. Fear of being alone. Fear of being vulnerable. A third thing I've noticed is a sense of uselessness. You probably come across people who just sort of hang their heads and they feel like, well, what could I contribute at my age? I'm sort of over the hill. I might be in the way. I just want to address that for a moment and say, that is wrong. Shame on our society that has diminished the importance of age. Your greatest accomplishments could come at older age. You know more now. You are seasoned, hopefully wise. Think of Abraham. He was 80 years young when he became Israel's deliverer. Think of Caleb, who at age 85 had already fought battle after battle, and he stands in Hebron at 85 and he says, "I am as strong today as I was back then. Give me that mountain." You say, "Yeah, but those are just Bible people. All the Bible people say that stuff." Okay, let's take it out of the Bible people. Michelangelo painted his greatest work at age 89. He was in his 90s on his back in the Sistine Chapel painting. William Gladstone, Christian Prime Minister of England, was 83 and on his fourth term as Prime Minister. J.C. Penney, Christian businessman, 95, still kept office hours. John Wesley, 88, preached eloquently. He had covered 250,000 miles on horseback by that time, preached over 4,000 sermons, and still going strong at age 88. A few weeks ago, I was back in West Virginia, and I had the privilege of speaking to the Billy Graham team. And Right before I got to speak, I had a great honor. The man who sings right before Billy Graham always speaks sang before me, George Beverly Shea. Well, he gets up to the platform and with a firm step, and he says, "I'm 49 years old in reverse." 94 years of age, this man sang so beautifully, still growing strong for the Lord. An old English proverb says, "The older the fiddle, the sweeter the tune." Remember that one. Remember that as you sing around the house and your kids might look at you like, "Ooh." The older the fiddle, the sweeter the tune. One day they will so miss hearing you sing those songs. I read something Agatha Christie once wrote. She said, "The best husband a woman can have is an archaeologist, because the older she gets, the more interested he becomes in her." Let's get more archaeologists. Let's go back now to Genesis 25. I want to give you a third word that I've used to describe these senior years of Abraham. It's the word responsible. Responsible. In chapter 25 of Genesis, verse 5 and 6, we read, "And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac his son to the country of the east." This is Abraham's will. It's very short and succinct, but complete nonetheless. It is simple in the extreme, but it's his will. He disperses what he has to his children. Most of it goes to Isaac because he's the son of promise. Somebody said there are 7 decades of a man. You ready? Spills, number one. Drills, that would be tests. Thrills. Bills. Ills. Pills. And wills. And this is Abraham's will. The dad disperses what he has to the sons. And it's not a matter of favoritism. That's why he sends them to the east and they become the progenitors of the Arabian nations much later on. But Isaac is established as the son of the promise, but the will is given fairly. Here's a point. Age did not entitle Abraham to be irresponsible. Age does not entitle us to be irresponsible. I know we think, "Yeah, I'm going to get old one day and I'm just going to kick back and do nothing." It doesn't work that way. It never really does.
You know, it can be tempting to think that once we've reached a certain age, we've paid our dues, and it's time to sit back and reap life's rewards. The truth is, however, we won't have that luxury until we begin our life in God's kingdom. In the meantime, there's plenty for us to do in God's service. And like Abraham showed, it doesn't matter what age you may be. Well, that about wraps things up for today. But first, Halloween's almost here, and one way to prepare for it is to learn more about what this holiday is really all about. And here's how you can do that.
The innocence of today's youth is being shattered. A recent obsession with the occult and spirituality is shattering any semblance of a Christian worldview among our children, even among those raised in the church. Dark creatures like vampires and werewolves are shattering the traditional image of being a hero. Virtual reality is shattering our hold on physical reality. Is there anything that can be done to stop this trend? Shattered. A documentary hosted by Skip Heitzig explores the impact of today's media and what you and I can do about it. In order to help save our youth from having their lives shattered, we need to act now. Find out what we can do in this fascinating documentary. Order Shattered today for just $15. If we don't do something now, we'll have nothing but pieces or broken lives to pick up later. Call 1-800-922-1888. Or visit connectionradio.org.
We'll get to our final teaching in this series next time. But if you like what we covered today, we'd be happy to send you a copy on CD for just $6 when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Plus, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll also send you a free bonus teaching from Skip called "Life Hurts, Where's God?" So call today. Be sure to mention if it's your first time to do so at 1-800-922-1888 or write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Well, we're going to wrap up this series on our next broadcast, so join us as we take one last look at the final moments in the life of God's friend. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.